among his people, a privilege to carry his word to this generation, to hold his banner, a privilege to stand here with the mighty men of valor. I salute them. There is nothing like a godly man that loves his family, loves God, stands for the word of God. Women are beautiful, but there's something majestic about a godly man. I'm not here to preach, like he said. I'm not even here to teach. I'm here to just tell you my journey, how I journeyed through these scriptures and how I found peace with them. And not just finding peace, but I grew to love them and apply them and give them to my children, nuggets of gold. And, you know, it's kind of sad. I hope everybody's been here from the beginning, because Corinthians 11 is just part of a letter. And nobody starts at the 11th page of a letter. You start at the beginning, or else you're not going to really understand a lot of the things of the letter. So I may have to go back just a wee tiny bit in some of these things. But when I first came to the Lord, I realized I was reading. I was actually looking for scriptures that talked about the Holy Ghost. But I came across Isaiah 28, 9, and 10, where it said, "Who shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast, for precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." I realized when I first came to God that I wasn't going to turn to the book of baptism. I wasn't going to turn to the book of the oneness of God. It was going to be searching. And I realized, too, that I had to invest something in this. I watched my friends, whether it was to lose weight or to have a sport or a craft, they invested themselves. They spent money to go to the gym, to the meetings. They paid for the gym. They paid for the meetings. They paid for special clothes. They paid for special equipment. They paid for... But then when they would come to church, they didn't even want to buy a book to invest into this thing. And I would feel bad. Now, I didn't have money back then. I bought a concordance. That was before the computer. You can tell I'm still not really up to the times. But I bought a concordance. It was like $50-something dollars. 40-something years ago, that was a lot of money. And I needed a dress, because I had come in with no dresses. But I thought, I need the word of God. I need to find out. I didn't have a computer that goes snap and you find your way. And so I had to invest myself into this thing. And then I would loan books to people. And I would go and I'd say, "Hey, do you have that book? I'm going to my sister's and I want her to read it." And they'd say, "Oh, well, I haven't read it. Let me look." And it'd be under Mademoiselle and the newspaper and everything else. And then a year later, they'd come and say, "I don't understand this. I don't see it. I'm not going to do it." But they didn't invest anything. They didn't look. And so my story today and my journey is kind of, and if I would have known I'd get up here, I would have really made a note of all the things and what they happened. For mine, it would be line upon line, scripture upon scripture, a service here, a service there, a conversation here, a conversation there, an article in National Geographic. One time I was standing, waiting in ICU to go see my husband, and they had a monitor up there, and it had some nature program that spoke to me. So it's just been a compilation of things that revealed itself to me. I don't know if it'll do anything for you, but this is how I journeyed through mine. And so I realized, too, that let's just read the scriptures that I'm talking about first. That might help us. So we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 11. I hope I can read them. I lost my reading glasses. Okay, we're going to start at the third verse. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth and prophesieth with her head covered, dishonoreth her head, and that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourself, is it not comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? You know, if you read the, I think it's chapter 9 of this letter, Paul says that he saw Jesus Christ. He said, I saw Jesus Christ. And here he's saying, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? I don't think that he was rebuking Jesus, because I don't think the Lord had long hair. But anyway, but make sure I stay on track, Brother Dye. If I get off, you tell me to get back on. But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory for her hair is given her as a covering. But if any man seemeth to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the church of God. I thought, what in the Lord's world? I was so confused. I couldn't see the forest for the trees. And then someone gave me one of these books. I don't know if you've ever seen the Magic Eye book. Have you all seen that? You've never seen it? What do you see there?
A lot of different colors.
That's it. Do you see the Jack in the Box?
No.
No. But if you took this book, not now, and followed the rules, you would see in there a Jack in the Box. But right now, you got to take my word for it, because it looks like a mess. And that's what I did. I thought, oh my goodness, I can't see that. And people were telling me there were all kinds of good things in there. But when we follow the precepts and the things of God, eventually it begins to manifest itself, and you could see things that you never saw before. All of a sudden, now it took me a long time, but once you see it, it's like you can't unsee it. It's amazing. And then you got to watch. This is what I learned too. You got to watch who you go and ask advice. It's very important. I one time went and said, can I lose weight by just eating greens, only drinking water, and walking a little bit every day? And they said, no, impossible. So someone said, what do you mean impossible? Who did you go to for that advice? I said, I went to the cows and the buffaloes and the elephants, and they said it was impossible to lose weight that way. Now, I'm human. Why would I go to the animal world for advice? I need to go to a human dietitian. So we need to, my husband used to tell me all the time, check the source, Sharon. Check the source. And so why would we go? I'm going to do another long reading. 1 Corinthians 2:9. We got to go back to the beginning of the letter for all of you that were not here. Let me tell you, I heard something the other day. The guy said, You know, you're never going to be able to say, well, I didn't know, I didn't hear the teaching. He said, we're going to be judged on whether you had the opportunity to hear it. So every time you miss, you've missed an opportunity to hear the word of God. And so we have to be very careful that we do not miss and that we don't start in the middle. But this is vitally important, I think, for us to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 9. For as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for his Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, I have seen people sit under all kinds of teaching, all kinds of preaching, and said they never could understand it. Somebody said one of the things, you know, like selling a house, they say location, location, location. Reading the word of God, attitude, attitude, attitude. Do you want to see? If God doesn't shine the light, I once was blind, but now I see. We have to study. We have to hear the preaching. We have to pray. We have to have the light of God's Spirit shine. It's a compilation of things. It's not just boom, you walk in and snap of a finger, we get everything that we need. We have to invest in this. We have to call upon God. Why then do we go to the world for advice about spiritual things? When we're going to talk about holiness, when we're going to talk about the things of God, why would we go to the world for their advice and think they're right? We need the Spirit of God to shine his light and show us. And then one of the things that I got from there is that he says in 1 Corinthians 1:25, you know, that there was going to be some things that seemed foolish. That God made foolishness the wisdom of this world, but there are things that the world's going to think about God. And he says the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Preaching itself to the world is foolishness. Hey, let me tell you, when I read in the Old Testament that the sign of God's people was circumcision, I thought, that is foolishness. Who would come up with that but God? The world would say, what? That's your mark? You know, their sign, sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Anyway, but that's foolishness. God warned us right at the beginning of the letter. Now, when you get down in here, there's going to be some things that you're going to think are foolish. And the world's going to think it's foolish. But they're of me. And so we're going to go with what God says. And then I remember reading in Acts when Paul said, look, I held nothing back that was profitable to you. I told you everything that would be beneficial to you, that would be for your gain. Why would God even bring up hair if it wasn't profitable to us? And he even said there, he said, and your blood's not going to be on my hands, because I didn't shrink back from telling you one thing because I was afraid you'd be mad. Have I made you my enemy because I tell you the truth? He said, your blood will not be on my hands. And so this is a personal relationship with God. That's why I'm not sure that people can really teach this into you. It has to be your journey. It has to be the fact that you and God have a love affair, have a relationship. You want to please him. He wants to please you. I can remember I was going to try a new hairdo one time, and I came out all, and my husband went. And I went back and fixed it like this, and I came out, and he goes, "There's my girl. There's my girl." Now, he knew not to say anything. That ain't going. That ain't flying. So then I took my, you know, our pastor gives this advice. He says the word of God's kind of like a puzzle. You lay it out there, and you don't do the hard pieces first. You do the easy pieces. Now, I love to do puzzles. I'm a puzzle person, and I do the easy pieces first. And I find that sometimes there's a key piece. When you find that key piece, man, you can go and then stop again. You got to find the other key piece. And for me, in reading this, the key piece was 1 Corinthians 11:15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So a woman's natural covering is her long hair. It's her glory. Somebody was saying, well, what's glory? And nobody could really figure it out, but they said it must be something really important. But why? That to me was just elementary. I thought, I can't go any further. For her hair is given to her for a covering. I just thought it was easy. And I thought of the time with Brother Bruce. I had this case after my husband had died, and it had, it was like a little attaché case. It had three tumbles on one side and three on the other, and it was locked, and there wasn't anything in it. But after he died, I wanted to put some mementos in there, and so I asked him, I said, do you think that you could open this for me? And he said, oh, piece of cake. I'll have it in 3 hours. Well, it was 3 or 4 days later, and he calls me, and he said, my goodness, he said it was so easy that I made it difficult. I overthought it. I strained. I worked. I carried on. And he said, I just started from the beginning. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He said, nobody starts from the beginning. Nobody makes it that easy. And I felt that way about all of this. It was so easy, and we overthink it. We make it hard. But her hair is given to her for a covering. So if her hair is her covering, the guy's not being covered is short hair. So to me, it was elementary. And then now, I'm not, if you know me, I can't pronounce half the words or read them either. But I was trying to look at the Greek word, and they had these meanings for long, and it said uncut or let the hair grow. I thought that was pretty elementary. It said, let nature determine the length by allowing the hair to grow freely. How long is long? Well, for our purposes, for these scriptures, it would mean uncut hair, not just hair longer than a short length. You know us, and us ladies. Now, you got to tell the truth when you're behind the pulpit and you got the mighty man of valor behind you. You give us an inch, and we want a mile. I looked. Is it 2 inches, 3 inches, 4 inches, 5? No, it was just don't cut it. Just let it, uncut hair to a certain length. And then, you know, when you don't cut your hair, it just grows out, and then it sheds, and then it starts all over again and replaces itself. And I don't know how much I should have asked Brother Tom, Master Barber, best barber in the whole United States, how many inches it grows a month or whatever. But, you know, and then it does. They say that we have a genetically predestined hair length. And I remember as a kid, we let our hair grow. My sister's only grew to about her shoulders. Mine kind of grew down around my back. But my cousin, if she didn't cut hers, hers would have probably reached the ground. And once it stopped on us, it just stopped. So, you know, they say that the only other thing that would determine that would maybe be your nutrition, if you were lacking in certain vitamins or that type of thing, your environment, stress will do some things to you. I remember this one girl telling me that her doctor told her she had stress-induced alopecia. She was working three jobs and doing all kinds of stuff, and once she kind of went back to one job, it began to grow back again. But naturally, a woman should just let her hair grow to her natural length in God, and it's already predestined by Him. It was expected in the early church that women look like women, and that was one of the signs. And you know what helped me too was I ran across this scripture in Revelations 9, 7, and 8, and it was talking about these demons. I think they were demons coming out of the pit, and it said that they were locusts that looked like horses, and on their heads were crowns of gold. They had faces that were as of men, and they had hair as of women. Now, I really don't know how to explain that. I don't know, because I'm not here to teach you that I feel better that I don't know. But to me, it was, there had to be a distinction. How did they know it was the faces of men and the hair as the hair of a woman? There had to be a distinct difference between the two. Paul appealed to nature and established the natural state in the order of some things. You know, there's just some things are natural. It's natural for women to have babies. It's natural for a man to love a woman. It's natural for a man to grow a beard. There are just some things that are natural. And so we flow with that. And it's natural, I think, for women to have long hair and men have short hair. One guy was trying to talk me out of it, and he's like, you know, the people that dislike it convinced me more than people that were trying to teach me sometimes. He's like, I am convinced with all the studying I've done, because I looked at all the statues and the coins and the murals that they dug up, that they men had short hair and women had long hair. He said, but now I think if you're not trying to be effeminate, talking to the guy at the table, you can let your hair grow any way you want. Well, we could all have, I think, but really, we're not looking what we think. We're looking at, this is the word of God that's forever settled in heaven that we don't add or take away. We're looking to find out, what does God think? What does God want? Does when I walk in the room, does he say, there's my girl, there's my boy? That's what I want. I don't want to know what everybody else thinks. I actually sat at the table, too, where people were arguing. Well, my mother said here, and my mother said there, and my mother said this, and my mother said that on the length of the hair. Well, nobody wants to call your mother a liar or she's wrong. Who wants to do that? So you just sit there and say, well, the Word of God says... That kind of supersedes mom. I hate to say that because I'm a mom, you know. I kind of, I'm the mom, you know. But anyway, where am I? Then I was sitting and talking to this lady, you know, from one of our precious, precious black ladies. And she was saying how, you know, not that their hair didn't grow, but it broke and that it sometimes didn't get as long as women. And there's tremendous pressure to look like they have this long hair. But do you know, by not getting into inches and lengths and just uncut hair, it makes us all even. We're all even. If you don't cut your hair, that's your long hair. And you're just as sanctified and dedicated and obedient to the Word of God as somebody that has it hanging down to the ground. We're on an even playing field. They don't have anything to be ashamed about or feel inadequate about or feel like they're not measuring up. The thing is, you're obedient to the fact that it's not cut. We are all on it. And I remember when in the adult class they asked me to do Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I hope that's right. But anyway, I was looking about sheep, and it said that there was long wool sheep, and that's what you make carpets out of. And there was medium wool sheep, and they make blankets and socks and stuff. 20% of the wool comes from medium wool sheep. There is fine wool sheep, and that's the small, like you get your cashmere where you don't itch as much. And then there are hair sheep. There are different kinds of sheep, but each one of them has a genetically already programmed that their hair will grow a certain length and that's it, or their wool will grow and that's it. The long hair sheep, it'll grow until it smothers them, but the medium hair sheep will find it may bulk up, but it won't go drag in the ground. And so if we don't cut it, we're all even. It's fair. My grandkids always say, it ain't fair, but this is one thing that I have found that's fair. One thing so far. Anyway, my journey, it may not do anything for you, but it helped me to understand that God sees us all and he created us all. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, male and female created he them. These verses clearly state that there is a distinction. Male and female is of divine origin. We were not a biological mistake. He had a purpose. He said, I have this job that has to be done. I need to make a vessel. Brother Dan, can you help me get that box, please? And so God is the potter. He has sovereignty. When he reached down into the miry clay and he made man, he was the one that designed it. You know, I have this pottery. Matter of fact, Brother Dan probably have this from your house. This one has little legs on it. And this is mine. I hope that doesn't fall. And then there's another one here. It doesn't have any legs, and it's got a couple colors to it. And then I bet this one said, I need a teacup. Those are probably coffee cups. And so he made this little appendage here so that my little tea bag. See, he made a vessel for a particular purpose. And so he made that one. And then my husband, when he was feeling down and he wanted hot cocoa or hot cider and just wanted to fill up, he would use this one. This was his favorite. Thank you, Sister Christy. She brought it to him and he loved that. And now I know the clay doesn't tell the potter what it wants to be. The potter designs the clay, because the clay would have never said, make me the fat one. No, I don't think so. So it had to be the potter say, that's what you're going to be. Anyway, so the potter designs the clay for a purpose and a function. He puts it exactly like, he makes the colors, he makes the shapes, he lets it, because he could have made a vase or a plate, or I need to hold flowers, so I'm going to make a special vase, a piece of a pottery for that. And so God is sovereign, and he makes us all unique. He looks at each of us and has a purpose for us. We were born for a purpose. And we just have to learn to be happy with it. God said, I need a vessel to do a particular job. And in order for it to function, it needs to be designed with unique features. So male and female, we have our unique features. We have our unique roles. We need to embrace that. That's just how it is. You know, it's not, I have this book, little book, I haven't read it yet, just a couple of pages, called Kiss the Frog. And it's talking about things in your life that aren't going to change that you don't like. but you've got to embrace them and make something beautiful out of it. You kiss the frog and make it a prince. And there's just some things in life. Now, I'm a big woman. I'm bigger than some men. But that doesn't mean I have to throw it out and lose my femininity. I got to make the best of what I've got. Now, I could stay tall. I'm not going to be 5 foot two, eyes of blue, coochie, 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 coo. I could, that will never be. Now, I don't have to be this heavy, but I'll always be tall, and I won't be coochie, coochie, coo. So, you know, there's just some things. Anyway, we'll just move on. So, God made male and female, had very distinct and differing roles in the kingdom of God. When I looked up distinct, you know, I have to do that. I think I know what it means, and then I go look it up. It says, recognizing difference in nature from something of the same type, readily distinguishable by the senses, something that is noticeably different, unmistakably different, clear-cut difference, a well-defined difference. There should be a distinction between the male and the female. You shouldn't have to wonder. It should be distinct. Their roles are complementary, but distinct. This distinction needs to be understood by us. This is all about God when we come in here. It's not about us. It's absolutely nothing to do, this separation of the sexes, with intelligence, superiority, or even the controversies with women's rights. All right, so I fight to get equal pay. Do I have to throw out my femininity because I want to have equal pay? We're not thinking. Because I want to vote? Okay, now I want to look like a man because I want to vote? We don't have to throw that out. We have to come to grips and be for our role and be happy with it. There's an umbrella. Do we have that where it shows the order in which Christ has us in the church? In 1 Corinthians 11, 3, it says, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Head here is it's leadership. Everybody's got a leader. I'm telling you, I have 8 grandchildren. We put them all in a room, and let me tell you, the first 30 minutes are havoc. And I'd say, "That's okay, just rest." I said, "What they're trying to figure out is who's alpha dog, who's going to be the leader." You know, I can remember when mine were little. I told Mark, I said, "Mark, you were so bossy." He said, "I wasn't bossy. I found a little set tape." "Shut up, Brian. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Sit down. No, we're not doing it like that. Somebody's going to be alpha dog. Somebody's going to be the leader. You put 2 kids in a room, one's going to be alpha. That's just the way it is. Kiss the frog. It's not going to change. God set an order, and it's always going to be there. You can kick, you can fuss, you can fight, and you can bite, but somebody's going to be the leader. Somebody will be. And so we've just got to come to grips with that. Man is under the headship and leadership and authority of Christ. Woman's under the headship and leadership and authority of the man. What's happened in our day is that we've all gotten out of order. Men don't want to fulfill their role. Women don't want to fulfill theirs, and it's havoc, and there isn't any order. I looked up this word submission, and it said it was a military term. And one of them was align yourself to the strategic goal of the leader. Align yourself. In the economy of God, the subordinate role, it doesn't mean inferiority. Just as Jesus was equal to the Father in his divinity, he submitted to the Father's will in his humanity. You know, when we sold our house, My husband was sick for a long time, and we tried we had medical bills coming out of our ears. We were stealing from Peter to pay Paul, and every day, God, you know, we need help, we're going down, the taxes were high, God, we need help, you need to show us. That went on for 8 to 10 years. One morning, out of the blue, he says, Sharon, God spoke to me last night, told me to put the house on the market today. Don't wait one more day. Don't tell anybody because they're going to talk you out of it. And he said, I heard from God, and he picked up the phone and he started calling realtors. I had to clean the church that day. So when you don't know what to do, you do what you know to do. So I got in my car and I went to church and I cried. And if you know me, I'm not a big crier. I weep till the front of my shirt was sopped. And I said, God, you didn't speak to me. You didn't speak to me. This is a big, today, not even a warning. And as clear as a bell, I heard it. He said, I spoke to the head, and the head spoke to you. Now you need to get in line. I finished cleaning the church. I stopped crying, and I went home, and I was out of my house in 30 days. And let me tell you, I've lived the house here is far better than I could have ever dreamed. Blessings and things that happened because I obeyed and followed and got in line with the leader. I'm not the leader. Two heads is a freak. That doesn't mean you don't have your say. That doesn't mean you can't give your input. But two heads is freakish, even in the church. God has order. God help us. So we have that order, Christ and man and the woman. How much time? Oh, my word. Do you know how much stuff I have here? There's no way. And I can't act like the president and go an hour and 20 minutes. I'm moving. Why do I? Let me skip this. I'm skipping that. Let me read something. I thought it was wonderful. If man is the head, the woman is the crown. A crown to her husband. The crown of the visible creation. The man was dust refined, but the woman was double refined. One move further from the earth. The woman was made out of the side of the man. The woman was not made out of man's head to rule over him. The woman was not made out of man's feet to be trampled by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved. God's divinely appointed man to be head of the family. Let me skip that. And do you have that cross? Now, I can't stay on this. I got to be really super fast. Oh, I love this. Some guy, one of the things says it should be a square. But I think the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of things to come. And so I think this cross better exemplifies it. But Brother Herzl, if you were here, he was going to teach on order in the family. And he used something like this. He said in Numbers 24 and 5, it says, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. The enemy wanted to curse God's people, but he couldn't do it. Balaam couldn't do it. You know why? Because they lined up with the will of God. He told them exactly how to camp, and they did that. Now, Judah, down here, the lion, Judah was the leader of the pack when he was to be in the east, and he was to lead them out. And then there would be Reuben. And then there would be Ephraim. And then Dan, he had to come up the backstretch. You never see where Dan says, I got to eat everybody's dust. I'm not happy with this. I want to be the leader of the pack. Well, you know, sometimes the leader of the pack's got a lot of dust, too. I come from Albuquerque. We were caught in a sandstorm one time. My brother, we'd get on him. Yeah, you bossy man, I have to listen to you. You're not the boss. But let me tell you, when that sandstorm came up, we got behind him. Loretta got behind him. I got behind her. Steve got behind me. And he took the brunt. About sting your skin off. But even in here, if you look at the lion, if you look at the ox, if you look at the eagles, it says they are lords. The ox is the lord over the domestic animals. The eagle is the lord over the birds. The lion is the lord over the jungle, the king of the jungle, and exemplifies the king, the lion of the tribe of Judah that's going to come. We're going to rule and reign. He's going to be our leader. And they could not be cursed because they lined up in their order and stayed in order. But you know, that's one of the biggest things. This chapter isn't really about hair. It's submitting. It's showing a spiritual sign that you're submitting to the order, to the program of God. I'm going to skip that. And you know, one of the things that I did understand was in Numbers 12, 2, when Miriam, a prophetess in her own right, and she says, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also to us?" She wasn't happy with her role. She wasn't happy that Moses and Aaron were the leaders. But I read this. Micah 6 and 4 said, "For I have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, redeemed thee out of the house of the servants, and set before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." But when she murmured, what she wanted to be the leader. And this literally jolted me. And it said, and God and the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. And of course, we know her story. She got leprosy. Thank God for Moses praying for her. Then we see Korah, Moses' cousin. Moses, Aaron. And then Korah. Korah had a prestigious position. He was a nobleman in his own right. He was wealthy in his own right. He had a title. He had a place of prominence. He had the awesome privilege to pack up the holies of holies, to put the tabernacle on their shoulders and lead them out in worship and singing. And yet, look what he says. He says in number 16:3, "And you take upon you, seeing all the congregation." Oh, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourself above the congregation of the Lord." Number one, he's wrong because he never asked for the job. He said, "God, don't make me do it. I don't want that job." He didn't put himself there. God placed him there. It was a divine place from God. And we have got to understand, especially in the church of the living God, God designates, God sets up, God pulls down. He did not put himself there. And then this is so, and you know what? The whole congregation is holy. It better be holy. You better be holy. You better hear from God. But you're not the leader. This is something. Numbers 16, 9, and 10. Here's Moses, humble. "Seeth it but a small thing?" You think it's a small thing? You think it's a small thing to pay the piano? You think it's a small thing to usher? You think it's a small thing to be a wife? You think it's a small thing? Don't you understand the position you're in? Come on. "You think it's a small thing unto you that the Lord of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he has brought thee near to him and all his brethren and sons of Levi with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also?" You have a title. You have a great position. Let me tell you, ladies, I had power. I had power. I had to be, if I talked my husband, if I wanted to, I could have talked, I am convinced I could have talked my husband out of that. We have tremendous power, but we've got to know our place. We have to know our divine designated place. Because if we don't, we will forfeit blessings. There will be curses. There will be things that will come upon us that is unbelievable. You know, people say, well, what about Absalom? He had long hair. Well, how does that do you for the poster boy of rebellion? God used that rebellion to hang him. We don't look to that. And then, of course, Satan, we're not going to get in. He didn't want to be like the Most High, if it's really told. He wanted to sit upon God's throne. Eventually, that's where he would have wanted to be. Oh, I have so much. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I got to quit. But I'm going to just quit with this one thing. I can't go into this. I read, too, about David. When David was running, and he simply said, oh, that someone would get me a drink from the well in Bethlehem. He didn't scream it. He just kind of said it. And his mighty men of valor risked life and limb to go. And I thought, would I, if God just simply mentioned something in his word, would I love him enough to just say, hey, if you mentioned it, God, I want to please you. I was in the adult class one day, and I just mentioned I wanted something. And before I left church that day, it was ordered and sent to my house. Just a mention. How sweet, how kind, how loving that someone would be that you would just mention something. Would I love God enough that he would just have to mention it in his word, and I would want it just to please him regardless of the cost? And there's one more thing. There are things about us. There's a man, there's a woman. We can't manipulate too much. Nowadays, they think they can manipulate everything, but, you know, there is one thing that we have control over. One thing. Every morning when I get up and I put this hair up, it's like I got to figure out all over again. Am I going to love you enough today, God, that I'm going to obey your word? When I fix my hair, am I going to say, hey, I'm proud. I didn't get to get to it. The trademarks of different companies. You know, when you see the golden arches, you know that a hamburger's on the horizon. But when people see us, we were sitting in Dario, and a man said, he blushed. He said, I'm ready to quit, Brian. I got to stop. I'll be here all night. But the guy said, he was blushing. He said, now, I'm not trying to put no moves on any of you women. He says, but I am so impressed. He said, not just the skirt, but the hair. The hair. You look like ladies. He said, now, I don't want you to think I'm trying to pick anybody up here. He said, but the hair, and you look like ladies. This every morning when I get up and I said to the Lord, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was a wretch and he went to the cross. Would I be ashamed to wear his trademark? Every single morning, his mercy and his compassion is new and fresh. And every single morning when I make my hair, I say, God, I want to go back to where I loved you enough that I was willing, or said I was willing, to do anything, go anywhere, do anything. Every morning, all fresh and new, this one thing that I have a choice over. I can either do it or not do it, love him or not love him, because it's a free will. It's a love affair. And I will wear his trademark. So every morning, I don't live off of yesterday, but I love him enough to to break my vow, to turn back on what I said. I want him to say, there's my girl. There's my, that's how I like her to wear hair. That's the dress I like her in. And I thank you. I'm sorry I didn't get to most of this. But I love you. And I love him.